Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, December 3rd, Pope Francis offers a message of inclusion on the International Day for Persons with Disabilities. Religious sisters are on the front lines in the fight against COVID-19, and the Holy Father remembers Algerian Archbishop Henri Tessier, who died on Tuesday. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. Pope Francis on Thursday issued a message to mark the International Day of Persons with Disabilities, which is observed this 3rd of December. In it, he highlighted the importance of inclusion and active participation for those with disabilities. He also denounced the throwaway culture that affects the most vulnerable. Lydia O'Kane reports.
The theme of this year's International Day of Persons with Disabilities, which is observed this 3rd of December, is Building Back Better toward a disability-inclusive, accessible and sustainable post-COVID-19 world. With that in mind, Pope Francis, in a message to mark the occasion, said this World Day afforded him the opportunity to express his closeness to those experiencing situations of particular difficulty during the crisis caused by the pandemic. All of us are in the same boat in the midst of a turbulent sea that can frighten us. Yet, in this same boat, some of us are struggling more. Among them are persons with serious disabilities, he said. Focusing on this year's theme, the Pope commented that he found the expression building back better quite striking. He continued by saying that it made him think of the gospel parable of the house built on rock or sand, and he took the opportunity to share some reflections based on the parable. In his message, he spoke of a throwaway culture that is widespread in our time, like the rain, the winds, and the rivers that threaten the house in the gospel passage. That culture, the Pope noted, affects especially the most vulnerable, among whom are persons with disabilities. He acknowledged the important steps that have been taken in the last 50 years, both on the civil and ecclesial levels, to promote inclusion of those experiencing physical and psychological limitations. But on the cultural level, he pointed out, much still stands in the way of this trend. We see it in attitudes of rejection, due also to a narcissistic and utilitarian mentality that give rise to marginalisation that ignores the inevitable fact that frailty is part of everyone's life, said Pope Francis. Consequently, the Pope underlined, it is important on this day to promote a culture of life that constantly affirms the dignity of every person and works especially to defend men and women with disabilities of all ages and social conditions. Before all else, the Pope underlined, I strongly reaffirm the right of persons with disabilities to receive the sacraments, like all other members of the Church. No one should be excluded from the grace of these sacraments, he said. Concluding his message, Pope Francis said, even worse than this crisis would be the tragedy of squandering it. For this reason, I encourage all those who daily and often silently devote themselves to helping others in situations of fragility and disability. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
To mark the International Day of Persons with Disabilities, the bishops of Italy are hosting an online conference on the theme, The Prophecy of Fraternity. Devin Watkins tells us more.
As the world marks the International Day of Persons with Disabilities on Thursday, the Italian Bishops' Conference, or the CEI, holds an online initiative to create community amongst various church organizations and those they assist. The event is promoted by the CEI's National Service for the Pastoral Care of Persons with Disabilities and includes moments of prayer, reflection, and testimony. The Prophecy of Fraternity kicks off with an online mass celebrated in the Diocese of Città del Castello, broadcast in Italian Sign Language. Later in the afternoon, the conference is split into two parts, one focused on Italy and another held on an international scale, broadcast in International Sign Language and in various other languages. According to Sister Veronica Donatello, who heads up the organizing committee, the initiative arose out of the needs of church leaders as they seek to remain close to persons with disabilities during the pandemic. It often happens during this period that persons with disabilities are viewed as the objects of care and attention, which is right, but is not the whole story, she said. They can also be subjects and protagonists. Sister Donatello added that the online event seeks to give them a platform so that they can share their experience and hopes. The Prophecy of Fraternity event sees the contribution of several church leaders, including the Secretary General of the CEI and Cardinal José Tolentino Calasa de Mendoza, the Archivist of the Vatican Apostolic Archive. Various persons with disabilities also offer reflections on how they have experienced the Church's pastoral care during the COVID-19 lockdowns. These reflections cover topics from hand-washing to caring for others and from social distancing to nearness. I'm Devin Watkins.
Religious sisters are among those on the front lines caring for people in need. They are active in parishes, community centres, homes for the elderly, soup kitchens and in healthcare infrastructure. They too have been hard hit by the pandemic, with COVID infection spreading through religious houses and communities. Thanks to the allocation of funds by USAID, the US government agency for international development, much needed financial support is helping them cope, both by giving to others and by supporting their sisters who are sick. The funds have been channeled through a collaboration between the US government, the International Union of Superiors General, UISG, and the Rome-based community of St. Egidio. Speaking at a video press conference on Thursday, Sister Patricia Murray, Secretary General of the UISG, thanked the US Ambassador to the Holy See, Callista Gingrich, for having facilitated the collaboration, and talked of how so many nuns and religious have been challenged and are coping during this very difficult time.
In the past, when we read about pandemics, especially, for example, during the time of the Spanish flu, the sisters were very visible and very present on the streets, in the homes and in the hospitals. Very early on during this pandemic, we received a letter at UISG from a medical doctor here in Italy who asked, "Where are the sisters? We need your help." The sisters are still there, helping in the parishes and shelters and many different places of need. But however, another reality is that many of the sisters are today among those most vulnerable because of their age and frail health. And during this time of COVID, I'm sure you're all aware of the many deaths that occurred of elderly sisters, including also priests during this COVID time. So in a way, this is a time to reach out and support those thousands of sisters who have been teachers and nurses and doctors and social workers and catechists and pastoral ministers, not only here in Italy, but as missionaries in many different parts of the world. The USAID grant support has allowed Italian communities of sisters to purchase the cleaning materials and the protection materials that they require. And this is an act of solidarity and care, which is greatly appreciated. So we have been able to help over 42 communities and different entities, providing safety and protection and care. The majority of these are our elderly sisters, but they also include women who have been trafficked into Italy, women who have come as migrants and refugees with their young children and who are looking for support and help to build a new life.
Still on COVID, Mexico's federal government has clinched a deal with the US pharmaceutical giant Pfizer to purchase more than 34 million doses of COVID-19 to combat the pandemic. James Blears tells us more.
More than 250,000 vaccines are scheduled to arrive in Mexico, with millions more set to follow. Mexico's Health Secretary Jorge Alcocer has just signed an agreement with Pfizer for the manufacture and supply of more than 34 million doses. It's proven to be 95% effective, and there are no significant side effects. Health workers who are at the forefront of combating the deadly pandemic will be first in line to be inoculated. The immediate next priority will be the elderly, who are very vulnerable. Mass vaccinations due to begin within the coming days. The Ministry of Health will administer the vaccines in a swift and orderly process. Millions more doses are going to be needed, yet this is a vital and timely step in a health crisis marathon, as Mexico has been particularly and especially hard hit. Official statistics estimate that more than 1 million people have been infected, while more than 106,000 have already died of COVID-19, although officials and health experts candidly acknowledge that this is a significant underestimate. There is such scant testing in Mexico. The country's fatality rate is the fourth highest in the world, after the United States, Brazil, and India. After almost a year, salvation finally appears to be within sight and almost within grasp. For Vatican News, James Blair's reporting.
The tiny nation of Brunei recently came into the limelight when Pope Francis on the 25th of October chose the head of the Catholic Church there to be a cardinal. Cardinal Cornelius Sin, the Apostolic Vicar of Brunei, is among the latest of 13 new cardinals that the Pope created last Saturday, the 28th of November. Speaking to Robin Gomes, a 69-year-old native of Brunei, described the rich mix of cultures and colours of the tiny Catholic community.
Well, If you look at the actual numbers, we might say that on the conservative side, we have 16,000 Catholics. 80% will come from abroad. The majority of these expatriates are from the Philippines. Others come from Malaysia, Indonesia, South Asia, and further afield. Because of this mix, it's a very colorful community. There's a spirit of animation in church life through this mixing of traditions from different countries. Also, an impact on the devotional life of the community. The local community is enriched and made aware of these practices through music, through dance, and as I mentioned earlier, through devotions. I must say that local Catholics are much less likely to be involved in active church life, perhaps because they are better off financially and economically, socially, than the many of the migrant workers who come here to work.
So your main thrust would be, I believe, taking care of the pastoral needs of these migrants.
Yes, a large part of our effort is concentrated on them, although of course it doesn't mean that the local faithful resident citizens are left out. But a large part of our effort does go to maintaining the spiritual health and welfare of our migrant Catholics.
That was Cardinal Cornelius Sim, Apostolic Vicar of Brunei, speaking there to Robin Gomes. And finally, Pope Francis today remembered Archbishop Henri Tessier, who died on Tuesday, as a generous pastor who worked with courage and an evangelical spirit in service of the church in Algeria. Father Benedict Mayaki tells us more.
Pope Francis expressed his condolences in a telegram on Tuesday, having learnt with sadness of the death of Archbishop Henri Tessier, the Archbishop Emeritus of Algiers. The message, signed by Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin, conveys the Pope's closeness and blessings to those affected by the Archbishop's death, including his family and friends, as well as the bishops and the faithful of Oran and Algiers. Pope Francis remembers Archbishop Tessier as a generous pastor who was able to go through the trying times experienced by the Church of Algeria with courage and an evangelical spirit, as well as a man of dialogue and peace who worked for a respectful and fraternal unity between the Algerian people. The Pope ended his message by entrusting the late Archbishop to God, asking that he receives him into the peace and light of his kingdom through the intercession of Our Lady of Africa, Blessed Charles de Foucault, and the Blessed Martyrs of Algeria. Born in Lyon, France in 1929, Archbishop Henri Tessier was ordained a priest for the Diocese of Algiers in March 1955. In 1988, he was appointed the Archbishop of Algiers, where he served till his retirement in 2008. During his years as the Archbishop of Algiers, he worked closely with the Algerian faithful during the terrible crisis of the 1990s, during which time thousands of people were killed, including Bishop Pierre Lucien Claverie of Oran, 19 men and women religious of the local Catholic Church, and 7 monks of Tibirin. He is regarded as one of the authoritative representatives of ecumenism and interreligious dialogue between Christianity and Islam. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, and to hear this broadcast as a podcast, please be sure to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Many thanks go to Gustavo Messina in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.